Good. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bethlehem on this sunny morning. I always leave a gap because you never know what it's going to be like, you see, when you actually get here. And it's beautifully sunny. We've all been sort of shielding our eyes. It's so sunny. But there we are. Aren't we lucky? Let's hope it stays for a while. So welcome to any visitors who are joining us today. I don't think we have any, but if they're here, they're very welcome. A special welcome to Reverend Peter, who will be bringing us God's Word and celebrating Holy Communion later in the service. And before I go any further, I must say it is lovely to be back home again. We have had a brilliant time visiting cities in France, Germany, and Italy. And we've visited a great many amazing cathedrals, such as Rouen, Metz, Strasbourg, Milan, Marseille, Toulouse, and Poitiers. But it is so special to be back home here, to my home church. So thank you, Lord, that these lovely places exist and we can, and they've been there for centuries. And yet, you know, our home church is home, isn't it? So normal things, tea and coffee will be served in the schoolroom after the service, and you're invited to join us. If you would like someone to pray with you after the service, you can come forward or you can just stay in your seat and someone will come and pray with you. And next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, and we're invited to join the congregation at the parish church. Now, we've had two thank you cards, quite long ones, but I think it's important for you to know about them. First is from John Paul, who was, I think, our auditor. Something like that, yeah. Scrutineer, thank you. To Peter, just a quick note to thank yourself and all the stewards for all your assistance and patience during my tenure as auditor examiner. Particular thanks to Paul and Alison for providing all the relevant documents. Finally, thank you for your very generous voucher for Longville Manor. I wish Bethlehem and all its members the best for the future. God bless, John Paul. And the second one is from the Sanctuary Trust, and they're at St. Brillard. I think they look after, well, it's like the men's sort of refuge, isn't it? I think something like that. And it's obviously because of the harvest. Dear friends at Bethlehem Chapel, on behalf of everyone at Sanctuary Trust, I want to extend our deepest gratitude for your generous donation of food and clothing to our shelter. Your kindness and compassion have made a meaningful impact on the lives of the men we support, many of whom are facing some of the most difficult moments of their lives. Your contribution not only helps meet essential needs, it sends a powerful message of hope and dignity. Knowing that our community stands beside us in this mission is both humbling and inspiring. Your support truly means the world to us. Thank you for being a beacon of generosity and care. We are incredibly grateful for your partnership and look forward to continuing this journey together. With heartfelt thanks, Sanctuary Trust team. It's just really nice to have that. Thanks from them. So I've got a few thank yous. Thank you to Sheila and Heather and Diane, Jean and Heidi who came to the music practice. And thank you to everyone involved in today's service. Reverend Peter for his planning, our musicians and singers, Ali on computer, Glenys our steward, Barbara on welcome, and Paul and Mary our Bible readers. I have to stop there because when I was writing things out, we've got Peter, Paul, and Mary today. You have to be a certain age, don't you, to know what that's about? I just thought, oh, we've got Peter, Paul, and Mary. Anyway, it did make me smile. I'd written in here, it did make me smile that we have Peter, Paul, and Mary involved in our service today. Anyway, I understand there are no birthdays, although you, Heather, you've got a family birthday, haven't you?
I'm going to meet them. Do anyone remember my twins? I'm just going to be 16 on
one fine night. Wow. Yeah, well, I can, yes, my grandson's going to be 18 next Sunday. But there we go. Anyway, that's lovely. Thank you. So let us start our service with a call to worship. And the call to worship is called it's called. You are our hope. Lord, we come to you because in you we find our hope, our joy, our peace, and the strength to begin again. We come to you, Lord, because in Christ you first came to us. We come to give you thanks and praise as we give you our hearts and lives. May Christ be lifted up so that people everywhere may know his love and power. Amen. And we're going to sing two songs, and the first is The Lord's My Shepherd. Let us pray. A prayer of praise. Worship beyond words. Lord, there are no words that can express the joy with which you fill our hearts and lives. There are no hymns or songs that have the words that will do justice to your glory. There are no words that will truly reflect your majesty, truth, and righteousness. There are no words that can truly declare your mercy, peace, and love. There are no words except your word in Jesus. He alone is the word that enables us to see you, to know you, and to honor you. And through the Holy Spirit, to worship you. Lord, we praise you for your closeness to us and for your being with us in Christ. We praise you that in him you have entered fully into what it means to be a human being. You have shared in all those experiences that we call life. We praise you that he is the Saviour who died to set us free, and the Lord who was raised to give us new life, that through the Holy Spirit he continually shares our hopes and holds us in our fears, that he walks with us in the darkness and floods our lives with his light. We praise you in Christ and come with joy in the Spirit. Amen. And a prayer of confession. And it's entitled Falling Short. Lord, we confess your right to exercise your sovereignty over the whole of your creation and over every part of our lives. But from the very beginning, we have used our free will to please ourselves and not you, to live for our own ends and not for yours, and to spoil our relationship with you and with each other. We also confess that we have fallen short of living lives that bring you glory. There is no way that in our own strength we can put our world or our lives in order again. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, forgive us. Cleanse and renew all things for the glory of your name. Amen. And I can welcome Peter to introduce the Bible readers.
Thank you, Doreen, and the team for leading us into worship this morning. Good morning, friends. I'm so pleased to be here sharing in worship with you on this first Sunday in November. And we were just chatting earlier about where has October gone? We're into November already. And the darkness and hopelessness of Halloween have given way to the light of All Saints' Day. And this season of remembrance. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not mastered it. And we affirm Jesus, the light of the world, today. And as November is a season for remembrance, I've chosen our Old Testament reading, which I'll be preaching on, really on this theme of remembrance of loved ones. From the book of Joshua, God's people have been led by Joshua and have, by God's provision, miraculously crossed the waters, through the waters of the River Jordan, as the priests stood firmly holding the Ark of the Covenant. And Paul's going to read to us from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, as we hear about the stones of remembrance. And then Mary's going to read to us as Paul commends the church in Thessalonica for their faith and love in adversity. Thank you.
So as Peter said, the first reading is taken from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is written to the Thessalonians in Thessalonica, which is now Greece, by Paul to encourage those who were facing persecution and to correct the misunderstanding about the timing of Christ's return. So we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love everyone has of you, has for each other, is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And at verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul and Mary. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you for your word, the story of your people, a story that lives in our lives and touches our own story. And Lord, in this time of remembrance, as we reflect on those we have loved and lost a while, we ask that you will give us grace to receive the comfort of your word and its challenge today. In Jesus' name, amen. It is part of our human design and desire to remember and to be remembered. But if we're honest, we know that we're not always good at remembering. We do forget. And memories can fade over time, and they need rekindling. And in my message this morning, I want to bring to you three important lessons about remembrance from this ancient story of God's people as they safely crossed through the waters of the Jordan. And I pray that in whatever way you will be remembering as I speak, and in this month of remembrance, that you will let this story of their setting up of the memorial stones speak to your own way of remembering. The first lesson I want to share is how their memorial was a sign of the divine presence. God was faithful and did not abandon his people, even as they approached the Jordan and everything looked hopeless and there didn't seem to be a way. God was faithful. And out of his love for his people, God delivered them and made a way through the waters. And we've got a picture that interprets that scene of the Jordan being held back, the people crossing, and the gathering of the stones. God made a way where there was no way, and they were not overwhelmed. And such a miracle, such an act of God, could not go without remembrance. It could not go unrecorded. So when the last pair of muddied feet left the bed of the Jordan into the promised land, the Lord gave this command to Joshua: take 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carry them over with you and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight. God was saying, collect the 12 stones, those stones that you've walked over, go back and bring them in the way that your past is going to be coming with you as a reminder. This memorial would say for all time that God had been with them then and would be with them every day. And we can imagine the 12 tribes of Israel with those 12 stones laid around the campfires as they celebrated that night. A sign that God carried them over and carried them through. What does this say to us today? Well, for Christians, as we know and sing in many of our hymns, the River Jordan is a metaphor, a symbol of the river of death and pain that all must cross. And in one of his hymns, Wesley speaks about this river being a narrow stream of death. And perhaps that's a more acceptable picture, an easier picture for us to grasp. The good news that in life and death, God is the one who bears us over and bears us through. This is our eternal comfort. This is our strong hope. And Christ's empty cross and empty tomb show how he crossed through the waters of death and has kept them at bay until all of God's children are safely through. And in another hymn, Wesley pondered this truth when he wrote these words: part of his host have crossed the flood, and part are crossing now. Come, Lord of hosts, the waves divide, and land us all in heaven. That's a wonderful word picture. Land us all in heaven. And yesterday was All Saints Day. All saints. We don't just honour those of exceptional faith or virtue, but all saints. The vast multitude of believers. And today, in this season of remembrance, in our mind's eye we go back and we remember those all saints who have crossed over from death to life. And as we, in this season of remembrance, look back and remember, we each in our own way pick up something from our past and carry it with us. A memorial of thanksgiving in our hearts. That in the middle of the mud and the mess, God is with us and has been with us and will be with us as we go on to the end of the age. The memorial was a sign of the divine presence. And in all our memorials, may we know God's presence. And secondly, the lesson comes that this memorial is to be carried. And there we see, excuse me, the memorials being carried. Joshua instructed the 12, each of you take up a stone on his shoulder. Their memorial was movable and manageable. And in a similar way, we carry with us in our hearts, maybe not on our shoulders, but in our hearts, memories of those who have died. What are the equivalent of those memorial stones that we carry? Things that remind us. It might be a family grave or an urn, a garden of remembrance, or a special place where we feel close to our loved one. Or at night it might be a lighted candle, or a photograph, or film of our loved one. And our memory might be stirred in the presence of another family member or friend. And at this time, the poppy is a symbol of remembrance. And flowers can also remind us and help us to commemorate our loved ones. And another memorial is bread and wine. A memorial to our Lord Jesus, crucified and risen. And there is the memory in our heart. Like the 12 in the story, we carry them. And I would say that these memories should not weigh us down. They should not be a burden. God never intended a memorial stone to become a millstone. They should be movable and manageable. It is what our loved ones would want for us. With the 12 in the Bible story, we lay them down. We lay them down in this season of remembrance. Their memorial and ours is one that we carry with us. And thirdly and finally, from this Bible story, to say that this memorial was for all time. Joshua explained the reasons for these stones. When your children ask in time to come, what do they mean to you? Then you shall tell them. And the footnote is, and there they are there to this day. They are there to this day. And it just reminds us that we can pass on those memories, those memorials, to our other younger generations. When we are asked the question, when pointing to black and white photographs, who is that? We can tell them so that we can inform the next generation. Or why are you wearing that poppy? And we tell the story. A memorial is for all time. And so is our faith. Faith is also a memorial that's passed on from generation to generation. It is our duty and our privilege. Not only do we share in knowing God as our deliverer, God will be theirs also. A memorial is for all time, and it can only be if we pass on the meaning and pass on the story. So if we go back to the first picture. Firstly, the memorial was a sign of the divine presence. And so with us, God is with us always. He has brought us through, and he will take us on. And secondly, the memorial was to be carried. And we carry ours, not as a burden, but as a tribute. And thirdly, their memorial was for all time. We pass them on. All this for the glory of God. Amen. And we're going to respond as we sing the hymn, Lead Kindly Light Amid the Encircling Gloom. Lead Thou Me On. Loving God, we thank you for all your blessings to us. Blessings of the past, blessings of today, and all that you have promised for tomorrow. You have kept the best in store. And Lord, we now bring ourselves and these gifts, and those gifts of money given directly. And Lord, we bring bread and wine for our communion, lives and gifts for your kingdom, all for transformation by your mercy and grace. From thankful hearts, amen.
We're now going to have our prayers of intercession, and there will be a response. There is a response. If I say, or when I say, Lord, in your mercy, please say, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the many people who have followed your way of life joyfully, for the many saints and martyrs, men and women, who have offered up their very lives so that your life abundant may be made known and your kingdom may advance. They chose the way of your Son, our brother, Jesus Christ. In the midst of trial, they held out hope. In the midst of persecutions, they witnessed to your power. In the midst of despair, they clung to your promise. O Lord, we thank you for the truth they have learned and passed on to us. Give us courage to follow their way of life. For your love and faithfulness, we will at all times praise your name. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the millions in our world who must go hungry today, all who are exploited and marginalized because of their caste or class, color or sex, that they may not lose their hope and may find the strength to struggle for their dignity. We pray for the millions of refugees around the world, that in the midst of tears and bitterness, they may discern signs of hope. Lord, in your mercy, we call upon you for those who are persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, or threatened with death because of their witness to justice and peace. For those who have disappeared because they dared to speak, that their spirits may not be broken by their body's pain. We remember those who live in regions torn by tension and war, by disaster, famine, and poverty. We pray especially for peace in the Middle East, Ukraine, Sudan, and we think of the victims of Storm Melissa in the Caribbean. Lord, in your mercy. In the silence of our hearts this day, we remember friends and loved ones facing illness, worry, or sadness who need our prayers today. Bless them with your love, your comfort, your peace, and your healing touch. Finally, for ourselves, fill us with your Holy Spirit as we continue on life's journey with the light you shed on our way, until you call us home and we are with our loved ones once more. We ask these prayers to be in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I shall lead us in an extemporary prayer at the Lord's Supper. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread and this cup, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the wondrous story of Christ who died for me and for all. You loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. And here and now we celebrate his perfect sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection and ascension, the promise of his coming, his sovereign rule as Lord of all. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, this bread may be for us the body of Christ, and this wine, the blood of Christ. And that you will accept our sacrifice of praise as we eat and drink, unite us to Christ, our living head. May we know his living presence and receive new strength to love and serve you in the world. To you, one holy and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. We will receive at the rail as customary, but if you would find it easier to receive the bread and wine in your seat, then we will bring it to you afterwards. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Come, receive. All is now ready. We join in praying together. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and we go in the light of the Lord as we sing our closing song, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." Bring us, O Lord God, at our last awakening into the house and gate of heaven, to enter into that gate and dwell in that house, where there shall be no darkness,
nor dazzling, but one equal light. No noise nor silence, but one equal music. No fears nor hopes, but one equal possession. No ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity. In the dwelling of your glory and dominion, world without end. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you all this day and forevermore. Amen. Let us say the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.